Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNradio.com.
Green blessings. This is Susan Weed, the voice of the Wise Woman tradition and author of the Wise Woman Herbal Series, 6 wonderful books on health and herbal medicine, including my brand new book, Abundantly Well, 7 Medicines, The Wise Woman Way. Thanks for tuning in to HealthyLife.net for an hour of green blessings from my green heart to yours. I read about 100 periodicals every month, from the strictly scientific all the way out to the edgy fringes, looking for the best, most reliable, most inclusive, and most up-to-date health information just for you, so you can maintain and regain optimum, joyous, abundant health. Join me right here at HealthyLife.net each and every month for wise advice on herbs and health, with a special emphasis on women. Together, we will reweave the healing cloak of the ancients and reclaim herbal medicine as people's medicine. 2020 COVID days is devoted to one of the best ideas I've ever had, nutrient-dense, nourishing herbal infusions. Whether you're a confirmed infusion drinker or a curious or even dubious beginner, I am going to amaze, delight, and inform you. I want you to throw away your supplements. They don't work. I want you to save on doctor bills. All you have to do is drink delicious, nourishing herbal infusions. And we're going to be talking about violet. But meanwhile, there is some fascinating results coming out from some studies that people have been doing. Echinacea, our old friend, Echinacea purpurea, we know can decrease the severity and duration of acute respiratory infections, including the common cold, when taken at the very first sign. And it has been shown to increase interferon gamma production, lymphocytes in the spleen, and natural killer cells' ability to destroy infected cells. One study looking at Echinacea wanted to make sure that it didn't cause a cytokine storm. They looked at human trials, which included taking Echinacea for up to 4 months, and there was no cytokine storms. In fact, Echinacea decreased pro-inflammatory cytokines, especially the ones that cause acute respiratory distress syndrome and death from COVID. Echinacea very well mitigated production of both inflammatory cytokines and TNF during cold, flu, certain other viruses, and respiratory viruses are all relieved by use of Echinacea. And you know that you can't make Echinacea tincture from dried purpurea root. You have to make it from the fresh root, or if you want to make it from dried root, buy Echinacea augustifolia. What we're saying about purpurea holds double for augustifolia. Now, you know that I say that the arc of herbal medicine runs from naked people rolling in the herbs, because dermal absorption is real, through alchemy and to modern scientists looking for particular compounds in plants so that they can make drugs from those compounds. So hold on to your hat, tighten your seatbelt. Here's somebody in that very scientific tradition, what I call a white-coated shaman, who's reporting to us about lemon balm. The main protease involved in COVID-19 is a prime target for developing anti-COVID drugs. Using computer analysis models, malic acid, and especially salvanolic acid derived from Melissa officinalis, that's lemon balm, inhibited COVID better than several antiviral drugs, including lopinavir and invermectin. Salvanolic acid interacted with the main protease and seemed to hinder the viral protein from developing into an active form that can reproduce. These factors from lemon balm also inhibited GSK3, the glycogen synthase kinase, a protein implicated in a number of diseases, including stroke, type 2 diabetes, and Alzheimer's disease. These three particularly potent compounds in lemon balm thus are salvinolic acid, ellagic acid, and naringenin. And what I'm saying is you can't do this at home. We're not talking about lemon balm tea here. We're not even talking about lemon balm infusion, which I don't want you to make because it's not really safe to make an infusion from any scented herb. We're talking about specific compounds that can be found, extracted from the plant, and then perhaps turned into drugs. The Canadian government just pledged over $1 billion to fund COVID-19 research that includes cannabis sativa, for its ability to be an anti-inflammatory and bolster the immune system. Yes, indeed. About a dozen of the 400 cannabis strains tested blocked the initial COVID infection in human tissue models, reducing the number of receptors that the virus could latch onto by about 73%. This one you can do at home. I'll be right back to talk to you about violence.
Lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
And then my grandfather stopped and told me to ask permission of the forest spirits before we entered. I heard her say, by the brightness of her own white hair, I knew her grandfather was himself one of the forest spirits now. I waited until I knew we could enter. I was about 10. Feeling powerful, certain, aware, and alive. It was easy to know the right way and to seize it. We walked on along the path silently, aware of the breathing and beating of life within and without us. I would say I felt joyous and glorious, yet without any introspection. I just was. I existed. I was whole, she continued. I'm so glad that she decided to sit here and tell her story. How attractive and how sweet-smelling she is. I wonder what her name is. I'd like to know more about her. We walked without hurry, stopping to refresh ourselves and amuse ourselves with the gurgling, chilly stream. It was relaxing now from her early spring rushes and chuckling a bit at her earlier haste. We splashed each other gently. I felt fully blessed by the universe and the water spirits. She has closed her eyes as if to enjoy anew the tremulous feeling of tiny cold water drops on her so receptive skin. How alike we are. The early morning mist suits me and a stream bank, too, though I do try to grow high up on the banks, at least high enough to miss those springtime rushes. Yes, I like to live where I'm moist and shaded. So good for the complexion. I wonder where she lives. I like listening to her. We walked until we reached the high meadow and stopped at the edge. I heard my grandfather whisper in my ear, "This is a sacred place, a place of great medicine, a place of power." The meadow seemed filled with a translucent, numinous light. Light shining from within the throats of hundreds of bright, small wildflowers. Light singing from the feathers of the birds and the wings of butterflies. Light welling up out of the earth and out of my own body as well. Yes, I do enjoy her voice. If I could talk, I think my voice might be very like hers. It would be full of heartfelt emotion. It would be bold and resourceful, yet gentle and caring. My eyes seemed to open more and more to the light. My skin seemed to extend for yards all about me. It seemed I could feel the breezes of the flights of the insects. And resonating in my head came Grandfather's voice. "You are here today to find your first green ally." As he said that, green filled my entire vision, a mysteriously moving, glimmering, constantly changing pattern of green. I was to find my first green ally. Green Ally. I wonder what that is. I've never seen her here before. I wonder what her name is. She has such a delicate fragrance. It opens my nose and my eyes and my head, and it wakes me up, but discreetly. Yes, it's a noticeable scent, a powerful scent, and yet it's a humble scent. I'm almost intoxicated by the heaviness of her scent. In the midst of this green pattern all around me, purple lights glowed softly. And I found myself drawn to those gentle lambent lights. I felt that I had part of my existence in those purple lights. No, it was some far, far older part of me that existed there and called to me. Some part of myself that reached through the generations right back to the ancient mother of all, calling it to me right now. And some part of me from the future called as well, some part of me that I would be when I was old, perhaps even myself of today, calling to me. Would she hear me if I called to her? Would she stop her story and turn around if I called to her? But how can I call her? I don't know her name. They were calling me, and I answered. I answered with my presence. I heard the calling, and I went. I went to what was calling with a voice and calling with a searingly sweet scent, and I settled down to the ground beside her, on top of her, within her. She called me, pulled me further and further into her. I gazed into her purple passages lined with shimmering golden floors. I entered her world. I answered her call. I felt her roots as my own, and I knew that there we kept our poison. There we had what would protect us rarely needed, and so we kept it hidden. I felt her leaves as my own, and I felt my abundant green power to nourish. So accessible, so available. I felt her flowers. I felt her flowers, and I knew my mind was majestically purple and open to resplendent glory. Purple. Why, my favorite color is purple, too. Purple with a little yellow, or purple with a little white, or perhaps several shades of purple. Okay, if I must, I'll wear white or yellow, but I'll always keep a touch of purple present. Maybe even subdued purple or startling purple. But if it's purple, well, I love it. And look, she has on a purple scarf and a purple hat as well. I wonder what her name is. I wonder if she would respond if I called her. Yes, purple. In honor of my first Green Ally, my first and still favorite friend, my favorite sweet aunt. And that's why I always wear purple. And that's why I took her name. Name? She took her name. Violet? Violet? Violet, like these right here. Violet, that's me! Sweet Aunt Violet is a shy plant. She doesn't flaunt herself. In fact, in my book, Healing Wise, and I just read to you from Healing Wise, the voice of Violet, Viola Odorata, in the very first edition of this book, in the table of contents, and the table of contents is a short table of contents. It's one page long, and it talks about the traditions of healing, part one, and then part two, green allies, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 green allies. And Violet managed to not be in the table of contents. I had to admire her ability to hide and be invisible. Children learn to recognize dandelion and plantain right away. A third good plant for children is violet. That's partly because violets are very distinctive in their leaf shape, having not just a heart-shaped leaf, which in fact other plants have, but a heart-shaped leaf where the base curls in little spirals. There are many, many different kinds of violets. And pansies and jump-ups are wilder kinds of violets that we grow in our garden. Violets, of course, are beyond easy to grow. In fact, in some places, people even consider violets weeds. Well, it's true. If what you want in your lawn is grass and violets start growing there, that probably means that your lawn is shady and damp. Because remember, that's the kind of thing that violet likes. Violet used to be one of my favorite infusion herbs. What happened? How come it's not one of my favorites? Well, perhaps that's not quite fair. Violet is still one of my favorites. It's just not one that I use very much. Several things happened. First of all, the price of violet got more and more expensive. And I want you to be able to drink nourishing herbal infusion for less than you would pay for a multivitamin. So I want it to be certainly no more than $2 a day. Ideally, if it's not much more than $1 a day to make your nourishing herbal infusion and get all of the vitamins, minerals that you need from your nourishing herbal infusion instead of from some pills. So although violet is rich in protein, a good source of minerals, an excellent source of vitamins, the growing cost of it made me think twice about it. And then people had a difficult time with the sliminess of violet. And that depends somewhat, as I said, there are a great many different kinds of violet. In fact, in my book, I list, oh, goodness gracious, about 20 of the roughly 110 named species of violet. Just in my woods alone, it's easy for me to find half a dozen violets in the spring, and certainly there's no better spring breakfast than to walk out into the woods with a piece of buttered toast and to cover the top of my toast with various colored violets and then sit somewhere, hopefully, by a little gurgling stream and eat my violets on toast for breakfast. If you don't mind the sliminess and it's not too expensive, then I would say you might find violet a great green ally as well. Violet is first and foremost a nutritive herb, but it is also an alterative, which is a word that means something like adaptogen. An alterative gently alters your functioning for optimum. It's also a dissolvent, so it dissolves unwanted tissues. And it can be quite effective against some cancers. It is anti-neoplastic, which means it has anti-cancer effects. And it is suppurative, which means it can actually draw cancers out through the skin. It's mucilaginous, expectorant, demulcent, laxative, diuretic, emollient. It's a lovely vulnerary. It also has anodyne and antiseptic properties. Violet leaves contribute plentiful greens to the salad bowl for months. They nourish and gently alter the functioning of nerves, lungs, the immune system, and the reproductive system. Violet has a special affinity for the breasts and is my favorite ally for women who are dealing with fibrocystic breasts, breast cancer, and mastitis. And violet probably already grows right by your door. Seek her out and you'll be rewarded. Violet leaves and violet flowers are safe to use, but violet root is not. Violet root has been used externally, but let's focus in on violet leaf and violet flowers. And leave the root to those white-coated shamans that I was talking about before, who are looking for poisonous compounds. Viola is cold and wet in the first degree. Thus it cools sweetly the body and gives deep sleep. says an Icelandic herbal manuscript written in 1475. Charlotte Erickson Brown, writing in 1979, says the salicylic acid found in all parts of fresh violets is an active disinfectant and tissue solvent. Applied externally, it will soften hard skin, corns, and warts, and is strongly fungicidal. I'll be right back with more about Aunt Violet.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Aunt Violet really wants to make sure that you are well nourished. In fact, she has been known for doing this for thousands of years. And Violet was so well known that Homer and Virgil sang of her. And I was just reading a new book that I got, which looks so fascinating here, The Songs of Trees. And it starts out by saying, for the Homeric Greeks, Kleos, fame, was made of song. Vibrations in the air contained the measure and the memory of a person's life. To listen is to learn what endures, says David George Haskell in the Songs of Trees. Homer and Virgil sang a violet, and thus we hear her song even today. The Roman Pliny talked about her wise, nourishing, healing ways as well. Violet is a perennial plant. That means that she has the time and the wherewithal to gather lots of minerals and to pass them up to her leaves where they are safely available to us. Remember, we're not going to eat those roots. You can count on violet leaves to provide you with vitamins. 100 grams, which is 3 ounces of fresh spring leaves, has about 275 milligrams of ascorbic acid and about 20,000 international units of vitamin A. This supports the liver, the gallbladder, the digestive, and the urinary system. Even when aggressive cancer treatments are being administered, in fact, in American folk medicine, violet is one of the herbs that is most often turned to for helping people to get rid of cancer and helping people to endure the rigor of current treatments. Because violet supports and nourishes digestion, her nutritive value is increased, because better digestion means you're going to get more nutrients from the violet into yourself. How does it taste? Pretty bland, slightly sweet, and like I said, slippery. Better hot with some honey in it or poured over ice. Most slippery at room temperature. If it's daytime and there's not snow on the ground, why don't you go outside and see if you can find a violet leaf to munch right now? After you listen to this show. Some of the earliest herbal literature from India and Egypt notes Aunt Violet's ability to dissolve skin and reproductive system cancers, most notably breast cancer. The medical literature of the early 1900s includes at least 5 scientific studies demonstrating Violet's dissolvent anti-cancer ability. In some cases, violet compresses directly on the breast cancer resolved it within a fortnight, which is an old term for 6 weeks. Fresh violet leaves, with their high salicylic acid content, are preferred and a must when dealing with active cancer. You can steep a quart jar full of the fresh chopped leaves in boiling water overnight, and then drink 2 cups of the resulting strained liquid each day. do a rebrew by filling that jar up with cold water. You can also buy dried violet leaves. The softened plant material is used to poultice. Again, it seems that the salicylic acid in the fresh violet leaves is one of the primary things that is helping violet to act against cancer. And so our usual thing of making the infusion with dried leaves is not going to be as effective with violet because there's a particular compound that is lost when we dry the plant in this case. And violet, along with other wise woman ways, can help you if you're dealing with swollen glands, tumors, or cancer of the stomach, lungs, breast, tongue, mouth, skin, bladder, kidneys, colon, larynx, throat, or tonsils. If it's too late to even consider antiviolet as a standalone treatment, or you wouldn't for some reason consider that, and you have pain, distress from treatment, and Violet is happy to jump in and help you to eliminate those pains, those ouches, those distresses. Violet has a very special sympathy for breast tissue, and she really likes to smooth things out. She doesn't like fibrous cysts, lumps, infections, or growths of any kind in the breast. Violet leaf infusion made from the dry violet leaves or the fresh violet leaves. With dry violet leaves, 1 ounce. With fresh violet leaves, 4 ounces. That's chopped and stuffed into the jar. 2 or more cups of infusion daily at the first sign of soreness can be a big help for any woman who has monthly breast swelling and tenderness or fibrocystic distress. In fact, a woman with fibrocystic breasts that bothered her for a full week premenstrually told me that when she drank violet infusion for her week of distress, she found herself saying, "What gifts can this bring me of greater wholeness?" And within 2 months of doing this, just 1 week a month, her premenstrual soreness was reduced from a week to 2 days. Personal experiences of other close friends lead me to believe that violet is willing and able to help whenever you find a lump in your breast. In fact, if you've read a book that I wrote after this, Breast Cancer? Breast Health! You know that in that is a story called Off My Chest, written by my close personal friend, Betsy, who did discover a lump in her breast. Actually, the lump had been there for a while, but she discovered that it was growing. She used the dried violet leaf that she bought commercially, and she kept that up, drinking several quarts of violet leaf infusion for several months. And then she had a dream, and the dream said, "You need to go to the doctor, and you need to get this cut out." And the doctor told her she had very aggressive breast cancer, and it was a good thing she had come right there, because if she'd even waited a month, she probably would have been dead. And she looked at the doctor and said, "I've waited 4 months, but I've been drinking violet all of that time." And yes, she is still alive more than 20 years afterward, not just because of violet, but because she did violet right then. I'll be right back with more violet fun and recipes.
Give yourself some love with our self-care programs at hrnradio.com.
Maud Greaves, writing in 1931, says, "It is recorded that during the 9 weeks that a nursery man supplied a patient suffering with colon cancer, which was cured at the end of this period, a violet bed covering 6 rods of ground was entirely stripped of its foliage." Wow! Violet flowers are a treat to the senses and a vitamin C boost. Preserved in honey or oil, they are a great treat. As a matter of fact, a very easy remedy is pick violet flowers and fill a jar full of them. a little jar, like a baby food jar, and then pick more and put the, more of them in that jar, because you really want to pack that jar full, full, full. Usually what I say is pick three times and fill the jar three times, and then you'll have enough violet flowers in there. And then gently pour some honey in there. Let it sit together for 6 weeks. Now, you can put water all over your face, just splash warm water on your face, and then dip your fingers in the violet honey and spread that on the water on your face and go to sleep. No, it's not going to be sticky. No, the ants are not going to come and lick your face all night. In fact, the honey will draw the water into your skin, and you will awaken in the morning with the most beautifully moisturized skin that you have ever had. Wow. Violet flowers help all of the senses. If you make a violet flower oil, then you can put that in the ears to relieve tinnitus. Violet flower honey also soothes sore throats, coughs, and children's digestive complaints. A spoonful before bed can help those troubled with nightmares or distressed sleep. Aunt Violet, you are a great friend to have. What else can we do with sweet Aunt Violet? Alma Hutchins in 1969 reminds us, the influence of the dissolving properties of violet seem to have an intricate inward skill, reaching to places where only blood and lymphatic fluids penetrate, and thus helping the immune system. Rosemary's Violet Moon Dreams Brew. Begin with a crystal goblet. Place an amethyst crystal in it, and then fill it with spring water. Now, add violet blossoms, as many as you have. Sit the violet amethyst goblet water in the full moonlight and sleep next to it. Drink half upon arising and half that night before going to sleep, and the fairies will visit you in your dreams. People who grow things organically are doing a great service for all of us and for the earth. But one step beyond organic is biodynamic. It's organic plus. And people who do biodynamic farming use a lot of herbs. Here's a biodynamic fertilizer. It's a fertilizer that is said to be especially good for plants that grow leaves very rapidly, like lettuce, plants in the cabbage family, like kale and collards, or things like Swiss chard or spinach. You want about 2 liters of dry manure, 1 pound of fresh violet leaves, 1 pound of fresh cabbage leaves, 1 pound of fresh nettle leaves, and 3 gallons of water. Chop the leaves finely. Mix them with the dry manure in a large container, add water, cover tightly, and steep for at least 2 weeks. Use about a cup of this to a gallon of water to feed your plants. You've probably heard me talk about nettle rot. It's a fast and easy way to make a plant food. When we're harvesting nettle, especially for soup, we don't want the stalks. We do want the stalks when we're harvesting nettle for infusion, but for soup, the stalks are too fibrous. So we throw them in a container with a good lid, add water to it, put the lid on, and let it rot for 2 weeks, and then I usually fill a watering can 25 to 30% full with my nettle rot and then water, and use it to water my plants. My lemon tree got so much nettle rot this year that right now it is covered in lemon blossoms, and my entire house smells heavenly from the scent of the hundreds of lemon blossoms that my lemon tree has because I fed it nettle rot. Wow. You could use violet leaves, cabbage leaves, along with the nettle. Just rot them in the water and use that. Or if you have some manure or some compost, throw that in too. Could you use it for your houseplants? You can, but the truth of the matter is that when these plants rot, they really stink. The stink is pretty intense. When it's outside, it dissipates. We can put nettle rot on the plants on the deck after dinner and eat lunch out there the next day. It's not like a stink that stays forever, but you probably would not want it indoors. Here's another biodynamic fertilizer, and it's for things that are tougher and denser, like beets and broccoli and other root crops. It starts again with 2 quarts of dry manure, 1 pound of violet leaves, 1 pound of amaranth leaves, fresh, 1/2 pound of shepherd's purse. I don't know if I could find 1/2 pound of that. 1/2 pound of fresh seaweed or 2 ounces of dried seaweed and 3 gallons of water. And again, you don't have the shepherd's purse. You don't have the amaranth. You can just use the violet and seaweed. That works just fine. Let's take violet into the kitchen. Creamy violet soup. We're going to saute wild leeks in some olive oil. Then add 4 cups of chopped violet leaves and about 4 cups of water. Stir it. Cook it at a boil for 15 to 30 minutes. Then puree it in a blender or use your plunge blender. Add 4 cups of milk and let it cook again for about another 15 minutes. Garnish with violet blossoms. Oh, so delicious. You could make Aunt Violet's chicken soup by adding fresh violet leaves to your own chicken soup. Ewell Gibbons has listened very closely to Aunt Violet, and he tells us what he heard in Stalking the Healthful Herbs. He calls her nature's vitamin pills. And I'm astonished that he can find so many recipes for violets that call for so much white sugar. I'll be back with some interesting news about cannabis.
Podcasts to help you reach your positive potential. HRNradio.com.
Thank you, Aunt Violet, for all the delight and the nourishment that you give us. Now we're going to turn to another topic, and that is interactions between drugs and herbs, between foods and drugs. There's a lot of concern about interactions out there, and I was quite fascinated by this article in CMAJ, volume 192, and I'm not going to read you the article because it's very dense, but I have a kind of easier-to-read summary of that article. The findings is that they have been looking at the interactions between cannabis and drugs, and there are interactions. THC especially can easily have effects in the body when you are taking prescription drugs and change how those prescription drugs work in your body. This is a report from the University of Toronto, and this is true whether the cannabis is being used medicinally or recreationally. If you use drugs that inhibit liver enzymes and you use cannabis, it will increase the effects of the cannabis, increase sedation, and increase your risk of liver damage. Now, you know that Susan says the take-home point here is if there's an interaction between an herb and a drug, stop using the drug, because the herb is going to make you well and the drug is only going to make you sicker and sicker. But, of course, what all the reports say is, well, therefore, if you're using this drug, you should not use the cannabis. Perhaps you can find a middle road there, which would be to use the cannabis, especially if it is giving you pain relief or helping you deal with post-traumatic shock or other difficulties. And perhaps if it increases the effects of the cannabis, that you don't need to take so much cannabis. And if it increases the risk of liver damage, then perhaps you would want to add something that's helpful to your liver into your daily regime, like dandelion or milk thistle. Very easy to find liver-loving plants. Medications that are in this category include verapamil, amiodarone, which are used to treat high blood pressure and irregular heartbeat, and certain antibiotics, ketoconazole, which is an antifungal, and the antidepressant fluoxetine. Cannabis can interfere with the metabolism of some drugs by suppressing certain liver enzymes. The anti-seizure drug clobazam and the immunosuppressant tacrolimus, for interest, for instance, are affected in this way. And what happens is that the levels of these drugs are increased several fold when they are taken in combination with cannabis. So again, what the report goes on to say is, therefore, you shouldn't use cannabis if you're taking these drugs. But what I suggest is, what a wonderful thing if cannabis increases several fold the amount of the drug in your body, then with the help of your practitioner and with your own wisdom, start using less drug. How wonderful that cannabis makes it more effective and more active in your body. Anticoagulants like warfarin might reach dangerously high levels, which might lead to bleeding. I am always a bit taken aback when someone writing about a scientific study walks right out on a limb like that. Are they saying that they have found that anticoagulants like warfarin are directly affected when cannabis is taken? It doesn't actually say that. Warfarin is going out of style very, very rapidly. The newer anticoagulant drugs are far better, so it's rarely used. Are they talking about any anticoagulant? It's a very dubious statement, and certainly for me can't be taken as any kind of scientific fact. The herbs that help keep our blood free-flowing and help to prevent stroke are, in general, very effective. And I do talk to people about how much they actually need to take an anticoagulant. If they've had a surgical procedure that requires them to take that, I certainly understand that. But if just being given as a possible preventative to stroke, then I'm not so sure that that's a good use of a drug. And if you're using cannabis, finding good pain relief or other good uses of it, that would be a good indication then to rethink whether or not you should be taking an anticoagulant at all. Smoking marijuana decreases levels of other drugs at a faster rate than normal, making them less effective. This includes theophylline, which is a bronchodilator, and olanzapine, which is an antipsychotic. So smoking cannabis decreases the level of certain drugs, which could make them less effective. Important information, especially with a drug like an antipsychotic, where if you are suddenly without it, it is like flying high with your parachute suddenly not open. This is not a place that I would mess around. If I'm taking an antipsychotic drug and I know that cannabis could possibly short-circuit that for me, I probably wouldn't smoke cannabis, but notice that it does say smoking. That doesn't mean anything about taking it as an oil or a tincture or in any of the other ways that it is available. Additive effects can occur. Cannabis can intensify the effects of some drugs, including drugs used to treat low blood pressure, including alcohol and opiates and antihistamines and anti-Parkinson agents. Wow, a lot of stuff going on there. But that wraps up another show here at HealthyLife.net because we're out of time. Thank you for opening your mind, your ears, and your heart to me and to the Wise Woman way of healing through nourishment and loving kindness. This is Susan Weed, the voice of the Wise Woman tradition, wishing you green blessings until we meet again next month at HealthyLife.net.